This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the June 4th, 2020 version of the Strang Report. Today is an historic day, partly because of my guest in the studio, Dr. Steve Green, but mainly because it was 5 years ago today, the day we're recording this, that we started the Charisma Podcast Network, and a lot has happened. We have some exciting statistics to share with you and some good stories, and you'll want to stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Well, I'm so honored to have my colleague, Dr. Steve Green, whose vision it was to start the Charisma Podcast Network. I've said in other settings that I was not a podcasting person. I've never been a radio person. I'm an ink on paper person. Magazines, newspapers back in the day, and of course, books and a lot of other things that are printed. Mm-hmm. So this was a brand new medium for me, but Dr. Green had the vision, and I remember it well. Of 5 years ago, we came in this studio where we're sitting right now and recorded the first podcast. I didn't really know what I was doing, so you helped me out by interviewing me.
That's right.
And now I guess we're interviewing each other. So first of all, welcome to the Strang Report.
Well, I'm always honored to be on the Strang Report. I'm honored to be anywhere near a Strang, honestly. So
No, I have some relatives you would not be honored to be around.
Well, that could be true. And I do too. Yeah, I'm executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network, thanks to your blessing and bringing me here. I knew when I left Tulsa, when I came here, that we would start podcasting at some point. It was almost 6 months that it took us to get started, get it moving. And we started by the grace of God, had about 350,000 downloads that first year. You know, but that really wasn't what encouraged us. It was more what I learned about your great brand that you've started 45 years ago, is that Charisma audience cannot be satisfied. They want more. They want more content. The Charisma content, we did well as a podcast because of the 40-plus years you were already known as a writer, a commentator, an op-ed writer, all the different things you did over those years. The Charisma brand grew and grew, and the audience grew. You know what you were in its heyday, what the magazine did. But the podcast network grew because we brought in that same audience. They followed us into digital. They followed us into the website, charismanews.com, and they followed us into the Charisma Podcast Network. We now have approximately 80 different shows that are on our network, 80 different marketers. How many do we have, Adley? You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I slept since then. We grew 20 overnight. We have 106 podcasters now. Now, podcast shows on the network. So I'm excited about that. You know this be true, that if we put content up, people want to see it. So, Steve, really, I congratulate you for having the vision to start a company based on what Charisma does and how we're led by the Holy Spirit and we report on the movings of the Holy Spirit across the world.
You know, I was looking at the podcast network. You know, there's so many. I told somebody yesterday I thought we had about 50, so you were closer than I was, 106. You know, a lot of these are new ministries, young ministries. Yes. And I was having to judge by the titles and by the little pictures you have on there, you know, the little logos we make up. But it seemed to me that it expressed the breadth of coverage that we've tried to do with Charisma Magazine, just everything from dealing with addictions, to prayer, to spiritual warfare, to, I would need to probably look at it again to say it better. You can go on the charismapodcastnetwork.com and see for yourself. But the point I'm wanting to make is it reminded me that, the body of Christ is continuing and new people coming. A lot of the people, of course, that were leaders 45 years ago when I started Charisma were, you know, are in heaven now. And, I was only 24 years old at the time. So if you do the arithmetic, you can figure out how old I am. And we have grown and changed. We publish the Bible now. At one time, we published a Sunday school curriculum. We did a TV show on TBN at one time. Years ago, We've done a lot of things, and the podcast network just kind of came at the right place at the right time with digital people, you know, listen on their phones. They listen on their way to work. And I've had to explain to guests, and I've had a lot of guests, you know, like, what's the podcast? I said, just pretend it's a radio program. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've done a lot of radio, especially for my, you know, several books that I've written on contemporary culture and the church, yes. having centering around the president and mm-hmm. Including the new one, God, Trump, in the 2020 election. But I've done a lot of radio. You know, I can tell it's drive time. You know, somebody out in El Paso who has a radio show. And, you know, sometimes it's a 10-minute interview, sometimes it's an hour, but it's also there and gone. Mm-hmm. Although a few of the radio shows are starting to put it on podcasts. The nice thing about a podcast is it's on the internet, I guess, forever or until somebody takes it down. And I haven't counted how many episodes I've had, but I'm pretty sure it's above 600.
Sure.
In the early days, I did them sort of every so often. Now I do them at least once a day and sometimes more than that. And it's built, but I got a report. I get a report every month, and it's got every single podcast and how many downloads. And that first download, that first podcast that we were talking about a minute ago, had 307 downloads, and that was up through the end of last month, including 18 last month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm saying to myself, why would 18 people find that podcast, which we did not promote?
That's right.
Really can't promote it. Well, I guess we could, but there's no point. They just found it and listened to it. And, you know, they keep going up and up and up because of that. And it's just amazing to see the kind of growth that has come year by year. You know, that first year, which was actually only a part of a year, was 323,000, which we thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Then it grew to 1.3 million, then to 1.2 million. Actually went down a little bit. We'll have to figure out why. I guess it was the year after the election, and I think some of our election podcasts
were big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had several that were big. A few big podcasts makes your numbers really grow, of course. And then it doubled the next year in 2018 to 2.5 million. Then it grew by seven times in 19 to 15.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just a little bit under 12 million 5 months into the year. So it's not quite double. And my own podcast, which I've called the Strang Report, has followed that curve. It's followed the network very closely. And also, I've become a little bit more comfortable with it. At first, I barely knew who to interview. But I also found that, you know, as I've reflected on it, and as we've talked about it, you know, in staff meetings and different things, that I can identify a story. I know lots of people. Most of the people I know are interesting.
Yes.
Most of them are opinionated. To some extent, I'm opinionated, and I'm good at ad-libbing. I've had to think on my feet my whole career. In fact, I am much more comfortable being on a, say, a panel, even maybe in a hostile environment, than I would be to prepare a speech for days and days and deliver it in
a... Well, I just saw you on the BBC doing some ad-libbing. You had a host that was after you there and asking you some tough questions. You just stood toe-to-toe with him and duked it out and got your point across. And it was a very good show. With the first time on BBC?
First time. And actually, the producer who called me, you know, somebody I didn't know before, had been listening to my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be very familiar. And
podcasts go all over the world.
All over the world.
We know we're on six continents. We have Iceland is yet to report in. We don't know how Antarctica is doing, but we know that we're on six continents.
Well, you know, there are scientists down there, and they're mm-hmm. snowed in.
That's right.
And they're doing something. Who knows? I don't know how in the world you'd measure that. It's probably not important. But
we are all over the world. We touch six continents almost every day.
And the network has grown. Of course, I follow the numbers that I have pretty closely. And it's been interesting that your podcast, you know, I consider that you were, because you were so familiar with this, that you were way ahead of me. But lately, my podcasts have kind of caught up. You actually have three podcasts. One is called Love Leads, which mm-hmm. is tied into your book, It's an excellent book, by the way. You need to go on Amazon and buy copies for all your closest friends. Then one called At Work, which is 462,000 lifetime. Right. And then Green Lines, which is that a play on words by me? Green Lines? Is Dr. Steve Green, is that a play on words?
It could be. We'll see.
And it's 4.6, almost 4.7 million. Mm-hmm. And that's your main one. And in a somewhat similar way, I have a main one. Mine is a Strang Report. I actually called my column in Charisma the Strang Report. And then for a number of years, I called it Perspective. We're going back to the Strang Report. And if I need to go back on the podcast network and re-listen to that first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it had the same theme music, the same announcer voice. It's your voice.
Mm-hmm.
The same logo, and it's just interesting that even though we were barely starting, whatever we came up with has worked quite well.
That's right.
all these years with all this growth. So anyway, I've just been reflecting on it, but I have three. I had one called In Depth, which was 167,000. I did it just last year. I was trying to do I watch people like Ben Shapiro, and he has a Sunday special. I thought, I'm going to do my version of that. Well, it turned out that I want all my podcasts to be in depth if they can be.
Sure.
And it was just too hard to break up the format, and how was I going to produce it, and how were we going to market it? So I just kind of absorbed it. In fact, we did absorb it into the Strang Report podcast. And then this year, it was probably your idea, although I don't really remember, but when I came out with my book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, I wanted a podcast that anything having to do with my book, with Trump, and of course we had the impeachment and everything else, and now all this unrest that's going on, anything having to do with politics, I would put on that podcast. And I'm in the process now of interviewing. In fact, I interviewed Jim Garlow yesterday. He was one of my main sources. I'm going through and interviewing all my sources from the book, David Barton, Robert Jeffress, I could name a lot of people, and to talk about what they talked about in the book. And I wanted an audience, because it's a political book, even though it's written from a very, very strong Christian perspective, it has a lot to do with spiritual warfare. I knew that a lot of people would be interested in the book that might not know me through Charisma, might not be comfortable with a Charisma connection somehow. And so I just wanted it, and also I didn't want it to make it look like my Strang Report was just about politics all the time. And I do everything from A to Z, and someone should probably tell me to be more strategic. But it's just what I hope is what I feel led to do. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it's stuff that just comes across my path. A few days ago I had a fellow that is. I've known for 20 years. I'd lost touch with him. He ended up being stuck in Washington, D.C. because of COVID-19, and he's kind of an activist himself, and he showed up at these protests, and he was telling me that Antifa had beat him up and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm getting this email as a private, just a private citizen, mm-hmm. and I'm emailing him back, hey, I got to do a podcast with you, and within like about 2 hours, we were in the podcast studio, and he was talking to me on his cell phone out on, basically around Lafayette Park, right across the street from the White House. I mean, I'd never really done anything. It was just a very serendipity kind of thing. But podcasts, they're fairly easy to get into a studio, although I've done podcasts on my cell phone in cars driving. One time I was with Lauren Cunningham, who's the founder of Youth with a Mission, and I spent a half day with him, and I wanted a podcast with this man who in Christian circles is really historic in a lot of ways. I kept saying, when are we going to fit in the podcast? Well, he wanted to show me this and introduce me to that person and tell me this story and that story. So as he was driving me back, we did the podcast. And, people could look all this stuff up. It was the quality great? Probably not, but it was certainly understandable. And, of course, I explained to the listener, we're driving down. He lives in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I was actually there on a cruise. I mean, how many times did I go to Hawaii? to Kona, And I'm saying, I'm in Hawaii. We're driving down the road. That's road noise you hear. I'm here with Lauren Cunningham. And I guess people must have liked it because we got a lot of downloads. And so I've just been kind of interesting how podcasts have allowed us to kind of go in a lot of different directions.
Right.
So it's been interesting for me personally. But I think that far more, because I mean, my downloads, which now add up to 5.4, just a smidge under 5.5 million, and they're going up every time. When I look at my podcast, every one of them, every single one is listened to every single month by at least two people. I don't understand it. So about half my podcasts every month are from podcasts from previous that are not from the current month.
They're evergreen, and people find them, and they're interested in them. They find a topic or a headline that sounds interesting to them, and they want to hear it. So you can expect it for as long as they're on the network.
Well, I have people. I don't go on Facebook very often. No offense to Facebook Live. But I go on, and people leave me little messages, and I put links to my podcast and stuff. And it's just real interesting for me to get the feedback because the kind of medium we have doesn't lend itself to the kind of feedback that some media does. Like, for example, an actor on a stage or even a preacher gets immediate feedback. Either people say something or
throw something
or they cheer or they throw something or they get up and walk out or you see they go to sleep. With what we do, we very rarely interact with the people. And I appreciate when people send me emails on info@charismamedia.com. And the staff always passes them along. And, you know, we try to listen to people. I'm doing this as an outgrowth of the journalistic, charismatic ministry that we have. It's not just to make a name for myself. In fact, as I've described it to some of the leaders, I realized that I did a podcast just mainly to become more familiar with what podcasts were. So for me, it's been kind of an unexpected surprise, like I was talking about a minute ago, an unexpected surprise that it came fairly easily. Mm-hmm. I do a little bit of preparation, of course, but I also know that the best podcasts are probably ones where we just have a conversation.
Right.
So let me ask you, I've told or referred to a couple of stories for my podcast, but talk to me about some of the people maybe that you've interviewed, some things that you have learned, or maybe even some unexpected surprises that you've discovered during these 5 years.
It's a good question, and I remember people asking me what was my favorite sermon. It's always next one, that my favorite podcast will be the one I do today at 2 o'clock. But I've had some favorites along the way and some people that I really have enjoyed. I have the privilege of interviewing book authors. The major generals, every major book released, I've interviewed Jonathan Cahn 4 or 5 times. I've loved every interview. He's an amazing talent, a gifted man who can speak what he writes, but speak it in such depth, and he can go for a long time. He's got a lot to say. We don't have an author that I haven't interviewed. Real Talk Kim, I've had 4 or 5 interviews with him. Michael Snyder has been a monthly interview of ours. It's probably my top download all time. Every time he comes on, we get somewhere around 60, 65,000 downloads per show. Every time he comes on, he's interesting. He has a lot to say. He's got some strong opinions about things, and he's interesting. But my favorite, probably personally, is with Mark Rutland, who's one of our authors. He was the president of ORU when I was there as a dean, and he was very instrumental in connecting you and I. And I love him for so many different reasons. But
he's also one of your biggest fans.
Well, I'm honored by that because I love him so much. He wrote a book called 21 Seconds to Change Your Life, something like that. It's close. But it was about doing the Lord's Prayer as many times as you can during the day, and then he tied it into the 23rd Psalm. And the relationship between those two very memorized verses and sections of Scripture that have really impacted my life because I pray them both all day, it seems like 5 or 10 times a day. I even did a podcast on how when I was washing my hands for COVID, I would do the Lord's Prayer while I was washing my hands, so I knew I had my 22 seconds in, because that's how long it took me to do it. Sometimes I speed prayed, but I got it in. But just having him on a podcast and listening to him talk and seeing that he's a compelling communicator, one of the best preachers, best writers. He's just very heady. And so I always have a good intellectual discussion with him. But also, Steve, I've enjoyed the opportunity to talk to new authors, new book folks that come through, and we interview them, and they become strong. We met Blake Healy here on a podcast, and I'm just amazed by how he sees in the Spirit. I already mentioned Real Talk Kim, but we met her with her first book that you decided to publish. You're her publisher. And I just interviewed her and just had a great time with her. And there's so many like that, and we'll come yet this day. We do about 5 to 7 shows a week, depending on the week. But I get to meet great people. Once in a while, I'll do my own podcast like you do, direct to microphone. But my show is designed to introduce Charisma readers and listeners to new authors and to bring their books to the show. I've just been honored. This is an easy, easy opportunity to meet people, to develop relationships. Many relationships that I've developed through podcasts have led to deeper relationships through our Charisma relationship. But the honor for all of us that we're saying today, Steve, comes from the fact that people come back. We don't get these kind of downloads without return visits. You know, we have both, you're over 5 million. I'm just barely over 5 million. All of those folks have been back a lot. They like what they hear. They want to hear more. They're very interested in Charisma content. Again, to your leadership and your historical context with our audience, they know they can trust us. We're going to deliver the goods. We're going to deliver a good show. So I want to honor our listeners in this show where we're honoring the fact that we've been in business now 5 years on the Charisma Podcast Network, and you're right at 45 years now, and you're celebrating that anniversary. I'm just thrilled to know that when I interview someone today at 2 o'clock, that we're going to have 10 to 20,000 people listen to that. And I was grieving the other day with you at lunch about missing my church. And I would never have had the opportunity to stand in front of 20,000 people and deliver a message. So to God be the glory, great things he has done, great things he will do. And I thank you for the opportunity. You funded the Charisma Podcast Network. You made the decision to make it happen. I just had an idea that it would work. And you believed in me and the concept. But more than that, you believe in your own brand.
Well, thank you, and well said, and I appreciate you all that you do, and want to very quickly echo what you said, and that's to God be the glory. We can't really, I mean, just the fact that we woke up this morning is by God's grace, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And we can just try to be faithful. Let me say something as we wrap up this podcast. We are now up to 34 million. I mean, who would have thought? And it's because people subscribe, mm-hmm. because they download it, and so it's easy to listen to it in their car or wherever they want to.
Yes.
Sometimes I will, I don't do this all the time, but I will put my earphones in, and as I'm even just doing things around the house, I'll have the podcast going or maybe an audio book, you know, so that I'm not bothering anyone else and I'm just, you know, listening to it, and people do that. Also, people share them.
Yes.
And the ones that go crazy, and I had one on called Prayers and Prophecies having to do with the COVID-19, was 350,000 people. That's I've amazing. Never had anything like it.
It's a big church.
Yeah, that'd be a big church. And, you know, the thing is, I've listened to it 2 or 3 times saying to myself, how is this any better than any of my other podcasts? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just had something I felt I wanted to say. Later today, I'll do a very similar thing where I've come across something and that I feel that is timely and I need to do right away. And also to ask people to go on iTunes. I found out I had over 50 reviews on iTunes, and I don't even pay enough attention to it to know that people could put reviews on there. And they were, you know, generally very, very positive. Someone told me that it actually helps your rank on iTunes or something based on mm-hmm. how many people subscribe and how many people leave reviews. So it does help us get the word out. I think, you know, right now our podcasts are, you know, among the largest listened to in the religious community. Of course, there are lots and lots of podcasts out there because it's popular, because people enjoy it. People, you know, carry their cell phones around with them. It's easy. People are more and more convenient to do that. Like I say, it's like radio in a way, except that you can kind of listen to what you want to when you want to and listen to it again if you want to. I heard you saying one time that nice thing about a podcast, you can stop it and back it up.
That's right.
And I've said that a few times. Mm-hmm. And so if people would leave us reviews on iTunes or, you know, there's other podcast apps, or you can come straight to the charismapodcastnetwork.com. And we just really appreciate the support. And we look forward to growth. We think that we're going to get a lot more people on. This is not part of my job, but yesterday in conversation with a rather significant ministry that I've known a long time, they were just getting a podcast off the ground. They were struggling a little bit. He was kind of confessing to me that they were trying to figure this out. I said, you need to be on the Charisma Podcast Network.
That's right.
And it comes down to discoverability, because it's like getting a book on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. Anybody can get a book on Amazon.com. I think they have 3 or 4 million different books, but that doesn't mean anyone's going to find it unless they go looking for your name. Mm-hmm. And in the Charisma Podcast Network, it's mostly Christians and conservative people who come wanting good content, not wanting to have to filter through all that stuff on iTunes to find something they want to listen to. And so as these new ministries, 106 different ones, although you and I have a couple of those podcasts, right, don't we? But new ministries coming on, people discuss, they'll come to listen to Green Lines and see a new podcast that we put up and click on it and listen to. And I think that's great. That's like the body of Christ working together. That's how
right.
It should work.
That's good.
So I've been doing most of the talking, but then again, it's my podcast. But I will give you the last word.
Well, I just want to appeal to our listeners. This is very serious, very serious. That you'll notice that Steve has more downloads than I do. Now, I take this with great chagrin that I brought podcasting to this company and he has to outdo me. He takes great pleasure in thumping me day after day. He has a little bit of an advantage, like a 40-year head start. But I appeal to every listener to the show to find the Green Lines podcast. You could download it on cpnshows.com. Come to the Green Lines podcast. And would you help me? Would you help this young, aspiring Cub reporter to get more podcasts than Steve Strang this year? We'll be back in 5 more years at our 10th anniversary. And I'd like to think that by then, I could have a couple more podcasts. In all seriousness, we don't compete. We just want to tell stories.
We don't compete.
And we just play and have fun. But I know that my audience is different than Steve's, but Steve's got a lot audience that's followed him for 45 years. And
no, most of those people are dead.
Well, not some are, but a lot of new ones. Anyway, I'm just going to say to you that whatever show you listen to on the CPN network, all of our shows will bless you. You'll find something that the Lord sends to you as you come in and look at our menu at cpnshows.com. When you look at that menu, there'll be one that'll reach out to you. There'll be one the Holy Spirit will draw you to. Listen to that show, and then listen to the Strang Report. So I'm honored to be on this network, brother, and to work with you, to be a colleague, but also to respect you greatly as a man and of your leadership at Charisma.
Thank you for saying that just like I asked you to.
I read well.
Well, hopefully we can have a little bit of fun. And
yes.
You know, this was a very personal podcast. I don't know if America was waiting for our 5th anniversary of the Charisma podcast, but hey, to me it's historic, and
yes,
it gives
it
me
is.
A way to reflect about it. You know, we would not normally talk about these kinds of things. Very, very rarely do we mention, or at least do I mention numbers. But I just felt that on the day, knowing that people will listen to this, weeks and months and years from now, but on the day, June 4th, 2020, we talked about starting this podcast network.
And we'll laugh about 34 million downloads in 5 years.
That's, well, I hope we do.
We have a billion.
Oh, we can only dream.
Yes.
And it's not about numbers, no. And it's not about growth.
It's about the people it represents, the people that have heard good spiritual messages.
And the message.
Yes.
spiritual messages that they're getting. So thank you for tuning in on the Charisma Podcast Network to the Strang Report. Tune in again tomorrow for another one. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.